Welcome to this episode of Vote Like a Texan. I'm excited to be sitting down with Joseph Kopser, and he is a familiar face to the Building Texas show because we've interviewed him before for his work in technology and space and across the state. But today we're talking about Joseph Kopser, the candidate. So Joseph, thanks you for joining us today, and where are you running?
Well, thanks for having me on the show, and it is good to be back on camera with you again. So instead of building Texas, maybe I might be building a campaign. But the answer, as we tape for your viewers who are probably going to see this after it comes out, so it's Friday afternoon. There are still two races that I'm looking at before the December 8th filing. One is House District 47, which is where I live right here in Southwest Austin, Circle C, going up West Austin, Travis County. And then the other race that I'm very interested in, and because we had breaking news hours ago, the rumors are that Senator Sarah Eckhart, may not be running in Congressional 10 now. So that's opened up a lane where I might be running in Congressional District 10 for the U.S. House of Representatives. So this is like breaking news. I know this is taped, but too bad it's not live.
Well, it's interesting because you're well-versed in what these districts are and these roles. But I don't know that our common voter would think about, well, how could you run in all those different places? How are you making that decision? So can you break it down for us a little bit?
Yeah. So, for the viewers that know me, my military background would span 20 years. And one of the things that they taught us in the military that applies here is a couple of different things. So the question about districts and where you can run, there's a saying that we use in the military that I'll translate to civilian speak. But in the military, we say, see yourself, see the enemy, see the terrain. And in political speak, it's see yourself, see the other candidates, and see the map. And what's interesting about electoral politics at the federal level, different from the state level, is that those maps are controlled for different reasons. We've heard the term gerrymandering. Yep. At the federal level, the state legislature controls the maps for the U.S. House of Representatives, and they can change them whenever they want. And this summer, 2025, the Republican-held Texas legislature in Texas changed them again, even though they had changed them a few years ago after the 2020 census. But the laws in Texas are unique versus other states. You don't actually have to live within the boundary of your district because this state has had two things going for it for decades. Number one is a lot of political gerrymandering. So sometimes they use the political gerrymandering to put people in and out of districts. And number two, the reason why you don't have to live in your district is the fact that Texas is so big. There was a time a long time ago that they didn't want people to actually have to go all the way out there, live there, and then come all the way back to the legislature because of transportation and technology reasons. You could live in one area and still represent another. And so that's the history of that. At the state level, it's very different. You actually have to live in your actual district within the boundaries, and you have to live there for one full calendar year before the general election, which I think is going to be November 3rd or so. Yep. In 2026. So wherever you lived or could prove that you live in November 3rd, 2025 is where you go. So long way of saying it's complicated, but the best thing for all voters to do is just find out who's running in their district and go vote.
Absolutely. And that's one of my drivers for the Vote Like a Texan brand is to drive voter turnout. I get frustrated when I see 7% turnout at a local election, but 100% turnout for a presidential when they're equally important, right? They're representative of you, your community, and your voice. So how do we draw people in to think about in some of these races, there might be a primary that's in March. There might be a runoff that's in May. And finally, you get to next November, you're in the election. And I, again, want to help people understand that it takes that long-haul commitment from the candidate, but also from the voter to make sure you can really see your vote count.
That's right. So what I would say to the audience, a vote like a Texan, is to remember that elections have consequences. And in any district, in any state, in any time in our American history, there's just a pendulum that swings back and forth. We go in one particular direction, we go into another particular direction. And that pendulum swing is caused by government, specifically elected officials, that just move too far away from the center. And when they move too far away from the center, that other party, whichever side it is, comes in and fills the gap around jobs, education, and our kids' future. And so I think, you know, as I would say to any voter, the responsibility is try to stay informed. I know you're busy with your life and kids and your work and just trying to maintain maintain balance in your world, but to remember that those elected officials, from city council to those local precincts to your school board, all the way up to the president of the United States, all impact your life. And I would even argue that the closer that the elected official is to your world, physically, literally, and figuratively, has more of an impact on your life than even someone far away, distant in Washington, D.C.
Well, and that's where I appreciate local elections aren't partied elections. Yeah. It really is representative of your neighborhood, your community, your school district, whatever that may be. But those votes happen off presidential sometimes.
Yes.
So always be paying attention to the calendar. Now, we've mentioned it a couple of times. You have a servant background. You've been serving people, I assume, since probably when you turned 18, if not before, through your military career and now in past elections and other roles. What's urging you to run as a candidate today?
Well, really, what has me interested in looking at running today is no different than what it looked like for me, at least personally, when I was a kid in middle school and high school. I've always been inspired by not only national figures. You know, growing up as a kid, you hear speeches from JFK, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. So, you know, that makes an impression. But even closer and more local to home, my sixth grade teacher, Mrs. Audrey Grievous, was a civil rights icon. She was one of those young women in the 1950s and 60s that chained herself to the lunch counter to demand service regardless of the color of her skin. And so when you grow up as a 12-year-old, having a teacher who is an icon in the civil rights movement, who later, by the way, a school was named after her, that makes an impression on a kid. And so every opportunity, I saw people in my community, and I was lucky enough to have great role models who just put servant leadership first. Not every second of every day, they had jobs, they had lives, they had family, but they did enough to volunteer. They did enough to participate in their community. And that just is in many ways what led me to West Point. And I thought, frankly, I was going to do West Point and then the Army for 5 years and then get a civilian job. But I fell in love with the Army. I fell in love with that mission. I truly fell in love with duty, honor, country, and what those words mean. And so even after I finished my 20 years in the Army, had some success in the private sector, I returned to public service by trying to run for Congress in 2018. We had a lot of success, had a lot of records. It wasn't enough to get elected, but it was enough to, you know, kind of refuel those the fuel in my tanks to let me know that everybody in their own way, whether it's their time, their treasure, or their talent, can contribute to community. And in my particular case, I'm just trying to pay it forward with all those people that invested me in the past. And that's why I'm looking very seriously at this run.
When you look at that, what are you looking at locally? What are you looking at in Texas? And we've talked in the past about the future of work, but what do you see in these roles that's needed for that future?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, what elected officials need to do is twofold. I mean, it can be difficult. On one hand, they've got to meet their voters where they are and understand the responsibilities that they have towards their jobs and the importance of education and ultimately their kids' future. I mean, they've got to stay close up to their voters to reflect and represent those needs. At the same time, because our elected officials are there to represent all of us, there are often going to be times where the needs of some of their constituents, not all, but some of their constituents might need to compromise in order to gain a fuller, more holistic goal that is better for all, you know, all folks in a particular district. And so that's really the double-edged sword that every political official, every elected official walks, which is to represent the people they represent, but at the same time, are a part of a legislative body which represents the whole state. In the case of the Texas legislature, or in the case of Congress, they're one representative from Texas, but they are in the U.S. House of Representatives. And it's that dual mission that really makes it difficult. But it also is the whole reason why we send them there.
Well, I like to think that elected officials create the environment for success, and they don't pick winners and losers, right? They come back and talk about infrastructure, talk about what does that long-term projection look like? And that's where I see a background can really make a difference.
Yeah. I was just going to agree with you in the sense that in my particular case, come from a military background and a business background for the last 15 years, we are always in a position where we have to make decisions that meet an ultimate goal. In the Army, it's a mission. And in the company, it is a payroll. And if you're meeting the mission and meeting payroll, sometimes you have to make hard decisions. And I love your point about the role of the elected official to create the conditions. In the case of the military, it's the role and responsibility of our elected officials, civilians, to be able to provide the resources and the guidance to send the military out. And in business, the role of government is to be able to set that playing field, not a level playing field, but a fair playing field, in the sense that we want to make sure that everybody can participate in the dream of free enterprise. You know, the American dream of free enterprise is what has powered capitalism, and it's what brought more people worldwide out of poverty than anything else. Democracy and capitalism combined have been able to lift people out of poverty. And if we just continue that going forward, I think a lot more people will agree with you that the role of the elected official is to set the conditions to move people forward.
You're all over the place when it comes to being involved, being at events, speaking at events quite often. When you're out, and I would call that your campaign trail, but what are you hearing and what are your priorities going into next year in that way?
Well, what I love about that question is it's so similar to what people were asking me in 2018. In 2018, they said, well, what are your credentials? And I said, my credentials are that I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a soldier, and I'm also a businessman and member of the community. And they said, okay, well, what are you going to do if you get into elected office? I said, I'm going to work to create jobs, education, and a better, set of conditions for our kids' future. And I said, oh, okay, well, if you lose, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm going to continue being a father, a husband, a soldier, and a businessman. And then they said, well, how are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? I said, well, I'm going to help create jobs. I'm going to work on economic opportunities through education. And then ultimately, hopefully, create a better future for our kids. And what I loved about whenever anybody asked that question, just as you're asking me now, which is since the election in 2018, for these last 7 years, I've had a lot of fun, as you say, up on stages, around town, around the state, around the country, with audiences, inspiring people to build their businesses, helping vets transition from the military into the civilian world, working on educational cases, looking for opportunities. And at the end of the day, it's what I said I was going to do if they sent me to Washington. It's what I've been doing since. And should I decide to run again, it's what I'll be doing in Texas or in the nation's capital again. So for me, it's just kind of being who I am. You just maybe have a different title in front of my name.
Consistency is key there. And it's nice that the level of service comes out in what you do, regardless of the vote, regardless of the role, the title. And you're making an impact. I appreciate what I've seen from the space side of Texas. And let's end our conversation around Texas and that future specifically.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of support federally for the state to do this. We've also seen the state legislators support the Texas Space Commission. And that is a long-term investment in the future of Texas as a contender in a global market. What does that look like for the common voter that's walking around Austin, Texas? Do they know that we landed on the moon out of Cedar Park? I don't know.
I hope they know, because it's just one of the great success stories of Texas. With the first words ever spoken when we landed the Eagle on the moon in 1969 was, Houston, the Eagle has landed. And it's just fitting that the next time we had a successful landing back on the moon, it was Texas. In fact, we had a nearly successful mission from Intuitive Machines not long before that mission from Firefly Aerospace. And so to your point, it is an exciting time to be in Texas in the aerospace industry. And that's why I'm proud to have been a co-founder of the SWIFT, which is the Space Workforce Incubator for Texas. And the mission of SWIFT is very straightforward. We recognize there are lots of rocket scientists. We recognize there are a lot of missile engineers. But if you don't have the workforce to actually turn the wrenches, to be able to connect the pipes, to be able to run the electrical lines to build said rockets, well, then our industry is going to just be dead on the pad, no pun intended. And so what we're trying to do is work with the legislature, work with universities. I think Prairie View A&M near Houston is one of the best examples of a university really embracing this opportunity with new programs for satellite, new programs for rocketry. And so what SWIFT is trying to do is to, you know, don't mind the pun, is we're trying to put fuel in that rocket to provide the workforce to be able to move us forward. And so I would hope that residents of Central Texas and all residents across the state recognize the opportunity we have. We have the land. We're able to launch rockets both from the east and west coasts so closely from El Paso and from the Corpus Christi area along the Gulf Coast. And so what that gives us the ability to do is be competitive in a way that few other states can be. And we have the engineers, and we have the rocket scientists. Now it's a time to build the workforce to build those rockets.
The professional workforce, it goes across many industries, but when there's a new one coming in, it is an adjustment. And I'm proud of the people like you that are out there working to bring professionals into space. So it's a really exciting thing. Joseph Kopser, thank you for spending time with us today. We're excited to see where you choose to run and look forward to watching the campaign as it goes out across 2026.
Well, thank you for what you do for this program to get voters in and across Texas out and into the ballot boxes. Because at the end of the day, I don't care who they vote for, just vote. I don't want it to be a small population or percentage of Texans that decide who our elected officials are, because the decisions that they make and the impact that it has on our daily lives matters. And that's why I encourage everybody to vote. So vote like a Texan.
Thank you so much.